The book of Philemon, if you would please, and also Colossians chapter 4. The title of our sermon tonight is The Godly Mailman. The Godly Mailman. Now, I don't know about your neighborhood, but our mail is delivered by a person in a little vehicle now. For years it was delivered by a walking mail person. Now they drive up and put things in the mailbox, and our dog barks. And for some reason, the UPS people and the UPS and the U.S. Post Office seem to irritate Casey. And I'm not sure why. But it was time. Time for the runaway slave to return home to face whatever consequences awaited him. He'd been away a long time. And if you would, the book of Philemon chapter 1. And we'll begin reading at verse 1, down through verse 10. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Wouldn't that be nice to be included in such a testimony? A fellow laborer with the Apostle Paul. And to our beloved Appia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now as a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for men like Paul and Tychicus, Philemon, men who were willing to stand for the cause of Christ. And Lord, we thank you for men and women, even tonight, who were willing to be used of the Lord. And Lord, as we have just finished our prayer service, we ask, Lord, blessings on each one that was mentioned. And Lord, we ask that you would bless this church, that it can continue to be a lighthouse and an outpost of faith until you call us home. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Onesimus was a fugitive. He had fled to Rome, where he had met the Apostle Paul. Most likely he left to go to Rome because it was a long way away from home, and he probably thought, I would never have to worry about seeing Philemon again. And yet somehow he was lucky enough. Now, some people don't like the word luck when it comes to the Christian life. Okay, it was a good chance that brought him to Paul. Or shall we say, God blessed him by bringing him into a relationship with the Apostle Paul. Would you not agree that it was a blessing for Onesimus to meet Paul?
Yes.
In his encounter with Paul, he had placed his faith in Jesus Christ. Aren't we glad that Paul didn't see him as a runaway slave and say, you're not worth talking to? Because in the eyes of the Lord, no matter how rich or how poor, how good looking or how, well, looked like someone got beaten with an ugly stick, then God loves us. That no matter how well educated or how illiterate we are, God loves us. Clarence Johnson writes, "The apostle watched as the Lord dramatically changed the once useless slave into a servant of great worth, both to the gospel ministry and to him personally. Paul disciplined Onesimus, and now it was time for the wayward servant to go home if his journey toward Christ's likeness was to continue." Unquote. May I say that a sure way to know if one has truly received Christ as Savior is when you see a change in their daily walk. Is the one newly converted growing in the things of Christ? And the Bible says that by their what you shall know them? By their fruits. Details of Onesimus' return are not well documented. However, complementary biblical texts shed some light on it. Onesimus was not left to travel back to Colossae alone. According to Paul's letter to the Colossian church, Tychicus became his traveling companion. And here again lies the story behind the story. Please go to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Can I interject something here? We are privileged to have the Bible. We are privileged, each one of us, to have a Bible. In fact, I dare say that if I were to ask you individually, how many Bibles do you have? Most of us would say we have more than one. In fact, most of us would say we have more than two. We are very privileged. A letter has come from the Apostle Paul. Do you think the church of Colossae gathered together willingly and excitedly to hear that letter read? They were. And I wish that we, as a body of believers, were excited about the idea of coming together to learn more from the Word of God. Verse 1. Now, Philemon lived in Colossae. He has sent a letter to Philemon, but also to the church that was where? In his home. And it's being read. And notice, masters. Who is that really directed at? Philemon. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, and a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know, or that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things that are done here. Point number one, the journey. The trip would have been lengthy and tedious. traveling throughout the ancient Roman Empire was treacherous and not to be undertaken alone. After leaving the magnificent city of Rome behind, Onesimus and Tychicus faced a formidable journey that included trekking across the Roman and Greek peninsulas, boarding multiple vessels to cross the Adriatic and Aegean seas, and trudging inland to Colossae once they arrived on the coast of Asia Minor. Paul, can you read what that city is right there?
Rome.
Isn't that where Paul was? Rome. Colossae is right here. Now, they would have traveled across the Italian peninsula, taken a boat across this sea, traveled across Greece, traveled across the Aegean Sea, and then trudged, as he said, over here to Colossae. Now, this is the Great Sea. What is the Great Sea called?
Mediterranean
Sea. Italy, of course. Aren't we glad that we're from Italy? Anyone else? Okay, we got one. I guess the rest of your family isn't. Okay.
Step-grandfather.
What's that?
My step-grandfather.
Okay, very good. Of course, this is the football that Italy is cooking. It's what?
Sicily.
And down here, of course, is Greece. And here is Asia Minor. And down here is Jerusalem. So this part of the world was subject to Rome. And it was during that time that Paul was ministering there. They covered hundreds of miles, most of them on foot. The major cities overflowed with every form of debauchery and temptation. You think we live in a vile world today? It was nothing compared to what they had back then. Thieves and charlatans prowled the highways and byways. They would have seen magnificent stadiums, theaters, and temples dedicated to emperors and false gods. Ponder this thought with the attitudes of today. The false worship and demonically inspired rituals practiced behind the gleaming marble walls and statues silently proclaimed Christians were not welcome in that culture. Folks, in our culture today, Christians are not welcome. Oh, you can be a Christian within the walls of your church building, but don't bring it outside. Folks, we need to get out of the closet. We need to get outside of the church because it is what? It's the mission field. Possibly the two men found a brother, Christian brother or sister who provided some hospitality and fellowship. I think that would be nice. Now, let me say something to you. I'm very pleased with my wife because down through the years she's been more than willing to open our house for missionaries. We have a mission conference coming up very soon. And it's a blessing to have them come, to listen to them, and to be a blessing to them. And what a blessing it would have been to have Tychicus there to tell them about Paul. And what a blessing it is to have believers to your home. Onesimus' willingness to return to his master must have weighed heavy on his mind. Because as a runaway slave, when he returned home, he could have been whipped or even executed. Yet, at the suggestion of Paul, he is willing to return to Philemon. Now, let me ask you this. Why did Paul encourage him to return him? It was the right thing to do. You say, but he was a slave. It was the right thing to do, and he was willing to do. Every day he traveled, and every step he walked, moved him closer to the end of the journey, and its unknown fate, which seemed to lie in the hand of a master whom he had wronged. Listen to this thought. Paul knew Philemon, Onesimus's master, and his confidence in the noble Christian character of his longtime friend stirred Paul to write an inspired letter seeking grace on behalf of the returning guilty servant. Paul passionately vouched for Onesimus's life. Unquote. Point number two, an extraordinary life. Have you led an extraordinary life? Do you know that if you know Christ as your Savior, you are living an extraordinary life because you are saved and you're going to heaven? Hope that makes us different from someone who has everything society has but doesn't have Christ. Although this one chapter book focuses on Paul and Philemon and Onesimus, a more in-depth study of the account unveils the story behind the story and the extraordinary life of an ordinary man named Tychicus, the godly mailman. We saw in Colossians chapter 4, verse 7 that Paul called Tychicus, one, a beloved brother. I just think that would be amazing if the Apostle Paul said of Paul Madonna, thou art a beloved brother. He was a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. Are we to be fellow servants? Yes, we are. We are to be fellow servants, all of us working together. Paul, who probably had never been in the city of Colossae, writes a very warm testimony about his teammate. One is written, Tychicus was a man worthy of trust who discharged his duties faithfully and was wholeheartedly committed to serving the Lord, unquote. Can I say this to you without any fear of contradiction? God has blessed the Covenant Baptist Church with godly men and women. And that, my friends, is a blessing. That down through the years, we have had special people in our church. We can't have her running around in here, okay? Thank you. But he was a trusted person. We remember that the Gentile churches in Asia had chosen Tychicus to join Paul in collecting and delivering an offering for the suffering Jewish believers in Jerusalem. And somebody had to take the money. They didn't have the forms of money that we have today with checks and credit cards. And I tell you what's this with a shortage of coins? I don't totally understand. But moving along, J.B. Lightfoot said he believed it was Tychicus to whom Paul referred in 2 Corinthians 8:18 when he mentioned the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches, who was also chosen by the churches to travel with us with this gift. Tychicus, his heart for the ministry, encouraged and blessed many. Do you want to be a blessing to someone? Yes?
Yes.
You should want to be a blessing to somebody. You should, by your Christian walk, be an encouragement to other believers and to the lost. That you are God's servant. Something to remember, the early church did not have the benefit of individual Bibles. And they did not have a Christian heritage like we do. Some of you are second and third and fourth generation Christians. They didn't have that. They didn't have parents and grandparents and great-grandparents that knew the Lord Jesus Christ. You that are a first-generation or second-generation Christian, you need to be examples to those that are coming after you. And what a blessing it is to be an encouragement to others. Life was difficult. Disappointments and hard times abounded for the early Christians. Doctrinal confusion was all around. Persecution was commonplace, and people could not be trusted. They did not know who would turn them in. What were they doing to Christians in Rome?
Killing them.
They would feed them to the lions. They would put them on poles at night and grease them up and set them on fire to be light posts. It took a lot of guts to be a Christian in Paul's day. And then Christians were apprehensive about Paul's imprisonment. He was their spiritual leader, and yet here he is in jail. Thus, Tychicus' first-hand reports on the beloved apostle's well-being and the furtherance of the gospel bolstered and energized believers across Asia Minor. Can I ask you a question? As you turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, is good news from afar a blessing? Do you like it when a missionary comes and he tells you of what's going on, like we saw recently about from Brother McDonald in Spain? It's a blessing, isn't it, to know that the gospel ministry continues? What a blessing. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 21 and 22. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your affairs, or our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Paul had sent Tychicus to Ephesus so that they would know what was going on in Paul's life. So imagine Philemon and the Colossian church's disbelief and amazement when Paul's spokesman, that being Tychicus, and Philemon's slave arrived in town. Now, did Tychicus know the town? Most likely not. But Onesimus would have known, and he would have directed Tychicus to the house of Philemon. Not only was Onesimus back, but the letter said that he was one of them, a fellow believer. Do we have a tendency to rate people by their economic stature? Do we have a tendency to say, well, you have something, an education, or good looks, or money, and so we hold you higher than someone who doesn't have anything? Well, what did Onesimus have?
Nothing.
He was a slave. And yet the church was to what?
Accept him, welcome him.
To respect him and to accept him. Accept you. Money doesn't make the difference. What we need to realize is someone knows Christ as their Savior, it's a blessing to have them. And yet, there were probably some who of the church membership doubted that Onesimus really was a believer. Point number three, delivering the mail. Tychicus fulfilled his role from behind the scenes. By all accounts, he never wrote a book, started a church, or founded a great ministry. But he was a faithful minister who carried out the commands of another. As a fellow servant, he had served alongside Aristarchus, Marcus, Justus, Epaphras, Luke, and even Demas. And throughout his life, the most impressive task he undertook was probably the most overlooked, because he had journeyed from Rome to Colossae, and as he did it, Tychicus carried three letters of enormous importance. And you have the three letters. You have them. He was a godly mailman entrusted to deliver Paul's original epistles to the Ephesians, the Colossians, and Philemon. These God-breathed manuscripts are God's revelation of Himself, His will, and His gift of salvation to all who hear, accept, and follow. That should bless your soul. Read and reread, copied and recopied, and passed down through the ages, these epistles have been protected by God. Every trustworthy word from the originals to what we have today. Clarence Johnson writes, God is sovereign. Every detail involving the preservation of these scrolls was under His care, as was the salvation and selection of this godly mailman who would deliver them. Continuing, God's truth was placed in the hands of an ordinary man whose diligence and care provided an opportunity for the word to be accurately communicated on earth for thousands of years. Many who follow Christ aspire to follow in the footsteps of Abraham, Moses, David, Paul, and other great leaders whom God used. But how many aspire to be a Tychicus, willing to minister behind the scenes in God's unfolding drama of redemption? God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward His name, and that you have ministered to the saints. Do not be lethargic or dull, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises of our Lord. Unquote. Isn't it a blessing to be a Tychicus? Isn't it a blessing to be one who is used of the Lord? In conclusion, we serve a God who uses ordinary people in extraordinary ways, and He will use us too, as long as we make ourselves available to Him. May I encourage you? Be usable. Be usable. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be here tonight. Thank You for the opportunity to read of such men as Paul, Tychicus, that were willing to be used. Lord, may we be godly examples to those who are following behind. And we ask this in Jesus' name. With thanksgiving. Amen.